Welcome back to the briefing, everyone. I'm Mia.
And I'm Milo. Today's tape is really one story at a time layering on top of each other. A dovish hint from the Fed lifting stocks and bonds, a trillion-dollar dislocation hiding in calm credit markets, Nvidia's enormous Hugging Face deal, oil spiking on Middle East strikes, and Canada hitting back on tariffs. We'll walk through what actually moved, why it matters, and what's still up in the air.
So, let's start at the top with the closing tape. The S&P 500 just notched its best day in a month. The Dow gained about 1.2%, and the move came directly from Federal Reserve Governor Christopher Waller. Waller said he'd be inclined to leave interest rates unchanged as long as inflation continues to slow. In other words, he's supporting holding rates steady at the September meeting.
And that's a real shift in tone, because Waller's remarks seem to contrast with statements last week from Chairman Kevin Warsh. The two are now openly sparring, and the financial press has literally framed it as the Fed fighting over the right sports analogy, Waller pushing back on Warsh. Traders responded to Waller's confidence in current inflation trends by pairing bets for a rate hike in September. Stocks rose, bond yields fell, treasuries rallied.
The why it matters is straightforward. The September meeting outcome may hinge on whether Waller's read of inflation wins over the committee. And we get two big tests very soon. Next week's CPI print, which BNP Paribas' U.S. credit strategy head, Megan Robson, says the market is closely watching, and Friday's jobs report. Roth Capital's chief economist, Michael Darda, says he's not seeing signs of overheating from any labor market indicators, though there's a puzzle underneath. A recent plunge in labor force participation, with competing theories about whether it's persistent factors like aging and immigration or just seasonal shifts.
The unknown here is whether Waller's view carries the committee and whether the data cooperates. If inflation shows signs of slowing, that supports his hold. If it doesn't, the Warsh camp gets louder.
Now, stocks and bonds rallied on the Waller comments, but not everything in bondland is calm. That's the pivot to our next story, because even as government bond yields around the world erupt, corporate credit has rarely looked calmer. And yet, Bloomberg's Tosos Vassos, speaking on Bloomberg Real Yield with Michael McKee, points to about $1 trillion of bonds telling a much different story inside that quiet market.
A trillion-dollar dislocation hidden in calm credit markets. And on the Oddlots podcast, Stanford professor Daryl Duffy joined Tracy Attaway and Joe Wasenthal to dig into what's actually driving the surge in U.S. government bond yields and what the Fed could do to shrink its balance sheet in response.
The supporting cast here is worth hearing because it shows how divided the professional view is. UBS Wealth Management France CIO Claudia Panseri was on Bloomberg TV discussing the yen as global bond yields surged on inflation concerns. Megan Robson and Invesco's Matt Brill were also on Real Yield, and Brill made an interesting point about Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, saying Bessent wants to win and is focused on driving yields lower.
And then there's duration. Tony Rodriguez, head of fixed income strategy at Nuveen, explained why his firm is fairly neutral on duration and how that position would change with a series of interest rate hikes from the Fed. So you've got neutral duration, a Treasury secretary pushing for lower yields, and a yield eruption driven by inflation concerns all at once.
The thing to watch is whether any policy moves, Fed balance sheet actions, the Treasury's approach, actually calm the yield eruption. That's the unresolved question.
And connect that yield pressure to the next story, because some of it may be leaking into less liquid corners of the market. Blackstone has moved to limit redemptions from its flagship private credit fund for the second consecutive quarter, capping them at 5% again. That's an early glimpse at the lasting pressures facing the $1.8 trillion private credit market.
The fact is, the cap. The interpretation is that this is a warning sign. What we don't know is how far the redemption pressure spreads across private credit. If investors are being rationed access to their money in the largest fund in the space, Does that become a broader theme? No answers yet, but given everything else happening in bond markets, it's worth keeping on the radar.
From bonds to the biggest corporate story of the day, NVIDIA is buying Hugging Face for $12.9 billion. And there's a color detail here. Hugging Face's CEO told CNBC that he approached NVIDIA's Jensen Huang just weeks ahead of the deal. Huang said that with Hugging Face, the chipmaker will expand access to AI for developers and institutions worldwide.
And this isn't unprecedented in the world of big tech. A past Microsoft deal offers clues about the playbook. NVIDIA stock was back in a buy zone on Thursday and rallied on the announcement, so the market clearly approved. Beyond the deal itself, the broader AI picture is holding up. AllianceBernstein's Lei Chu, who runs thematic innovation equities there, says the latest earnings reports point to strong and persistent AI demand, and she argues there's clear evidence of adoption broadening beyond hardware into select software and the infrastructure layer. AI is solidly moving into the adoption phase, with no sign of a slowdown.
A couple of supporting threads in the same discussion. OpenAI began rolling out its Astra model after warning of its advanced cyber capabilities. Companies in its application-based cybersecurity program get first access. Google, meanwhile, started September with AI momentum after its longest monthly losing streak in over a decade, helped by new AI models.
But there's a risk flagged in the data center boom itself. U.S. AI data centers rely on China-linked supplies of transformers, batteries, and optical gear. Even as Washington moves to tighten restrictions on foreign equipment, that's a hidden vulnerability in a multi-billion dollar build-out. So, the deal is done and reported. Adoption is the interpretation, and supply chain exposure is the uncertainty.
That AI enthusiasm bleeds directly into the retail trading story. Options volume erupted in retail trading favorites as Robinhood and Tesla surged. Traders kicking off September, historically the worst month for stocks, by piling on bullish bets anyway. Snowflake was the big earnings winner Thursday, and Broadcom CEO Hock Tan offered bullish long-term AI targets. Robinhood soared on the session. Tesla jumped ahead at its CyberCab event.
And Tesla teased fans with the CyberCab ahead of the long-awaited update. No steering wheel, no pedals, was the pitch. Nearly 2 years after the vehicle was first unveiled. So the retail complex is leaning bullish into a seasonally weak month. The caution flag is that enthusiasm and seasonality are pointing in opposite directions, and we don't know how that resolves.
Now to the commodity corner, where the geopolitical picture is genuinely hot. Brent oil climbed above $96 a barrel after Iran fired missiles at Kuwait. The U.S. and Iran have traded military strikes this week for the first time since July, and Kuwait's army said Thursday it was confronting hostile missile and drone attacks from Iran. Oil is up more than 7% this week.
President Trump said the renewed Mideast hostilities will not last too long. That's his characterization, not a forecast we can verify. And the market has found its trade. Bloomberg's ETF of the Moment piece highlights a fund riding the wild, war-fueled oil market driven by the U.S.-Israel war with Iran. What changed is the strikes and the price. What's unknown is the duration of the conflict and the supply impacts. If attacks on Gulf states continue, supply routes become the question.
Staying in the trade conflict lane but switching from missiles to tariffs. Canada has retaliated against President Trump's 50% tariffs with dollar-for-dollar duties on U.S. goods set to take effect next week. Prime Minister Carney clapped back at Lupnik, saying Canada will resume trade talks when the Americans are ready.
And within the same trade friction theme, major automakers in the U.S. are urging Congress to permanently ban the domestic sale, import, and manufacturing of Chinese-connected vehicles. The hardware and software, too. So on one front, tit-for-tat tariffs starting next week. On another, a structural push to wall off a whole category of vehicles. The watch items are escalation risk and supply chain fallout on both.
From geopolitics to household balance sheets, Fidelity reports that average 401 Packin and IRA balances hit record highs in the second quarter, riding market gains, but at the same time, more workers are raiding their accounts, tapping them for cash. So the headline is records, the footnote is leakage.
There's a companion piece on benchmarks, how much Americans in their 30s and 40s actually have in their 401ks, with Financial Pros explaining how to tell if you're on track to retire and how to catch up if you've fallen behind. The signal is the tension. Strong markets pushing balances up, stretched household finances pulling money out. We don't know if the withdrawal trend accelerates if markets wobble.
And that household strain connects to institutional strain. Bloomberg's Amanda Albright, on Real Yield, reported that nearly 200 private colleges are draining their endowments to stay alive, facing financial pressure from declining enrollments and shrinking income. On the public side, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson is projecting an $882 million budget deficit for 2027, driven by bond and pension costs, even as his administration keeps working to close this year's shortfall. That underscores the financial pressures facing the third largest U.S. city.
The unknown for both, how many institutions face restructuring or cuts. A college endowment can only be drained for so long, and a pension-driven gap compounds.
Shifting to the consumer, travel is showing cracks from two directions. U.S. Travel Association President Jeff Freeman said the industry wants the government to work out self-inflicted problems, travelers facing new visa policies and the prospect of more government shutdowns. He also noted that as travelers turn to AI, some of the industry remains inefficient, since most jobs travel companies can't turn over to AI.
And on the ground, BWH Hotel CEO Larry Kukulik says Americans are still traveling, but the booking window is shrinking and some consumers are trading down to lower-priced hotels. He also flagged rising insurance costs for franchisees and the bottom-line impact of the World Cup on host cities. The watch item? Whether booking behavior keeps deteriorating.
Corporate results add another consumer data point. Campbell's shares slumped after the packaged food maker posted its fourth straight quarterly sales decline, cut its dividend, and unveiled a cost savings plan. That's a trifecta of stress signals. The unknown is whether the cost cuts stabilize margins, and note the contrast. ChargePoint's CEO says its 70% stock surge is the beginning of the momentum, with the company toward the end of a 3-year business plan that boosted revenue and significantly cut losses.
Two very different corporate stories. One cutting its dividend, one claiming momentum. Worth holding both in mind when thinking about the consumer and the market's breadth.
Then the courtroom items, briefly but properly. A London wine distributor, founder Stephen Burton, was sentenced in the U.S. to 6 years in prison for orchestrating a scam that cost investors almost $100 million based on bottles of rare vintages that didn't exist.
And Leon Black is suing the House Oversight Committee over subpoenas in the Epstein probe and won't appear Thursday as scheduled. His attorneys say the NDAs being sought by the panel have nothing to do with his dealings with Jeffrey Epstein. Both are legal stories with market names attached, but no immediate market transmission reported.
Let's end on a lighter note, because not everything on the tape is macro stress. At the U.S. Open, Grey Goose's global VP of marketing, Aleko Asqueta, says the Honeydew's cocktail has grown to be part of the center of the tournament, creating a moment of connection, and fans get to take home a bit of U.S. Open history with the drink and the cup.
In boxing, Matchroom Sport chairman Eddie Hearn revealed the location battle over staging Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua. Wembley or Madison Square Garden? Explained why Katie Taylor's 83,000-seat farewell could redefine women's sports, and outlined how Matchroom's new U.S. investment will fuel expansion across boxing, darts, pool, and live entertainment.
And the NFL is playing its first ever game in Melbourne, Australia, the San Francisco 49ers against the LA Rams, as part of an expanded push to grow the game internationally.
So let's recap the core of the briefing. The closing tape, S&P 500, best day in a month, Dow up 1.2%, on Waller's steady rate signal, with hike bets paired and treasuries rallying. The catalyst to watch: next week's CPI, Friday's jobs report, and whether Waller's view wins the committee.
Below the surface, a $1 trillion dislocation in calm credit markets, Blackstone capping private credit redemptions at 5% for a second straight quarter, and a question about the Fed's balance sheet. In tech, Nvidia's $12.9 billion Hugging Face deal and an AI adoption story with a China supply chain caveat. In commodities, Brent above 96 on Iran-Kuwait strikes, up 7% on the week, duration unknown. And in trade, Canada's dollar-for-dollar retaliation effective next week.
Facts reported, interpretations flagged, and the unknowns named. We'll be back tomorrow to see whether the data confirms Waller or hands the argument back to Warship. Thanks for listening.
Good night, everyone.